Hello everyone, welcome to the Tabitha Stories podcast. It's been a minute since my last episode, and I have missed chatting with you about everything interesting. So what's been keeping me away from the mic? Well, a few things actually. First off, scheduling interviews has been a bit of a challenge. Many of the folks I would love to chat with have been incredibly busy, which is totally understandable. But I am determined to bring you some amazing conversations. So I'm working hard to make it happen. On top of that, I've been thinking a lot about the direction of the podcast. I want to ensure that the stories I share align with my goals and vision for the show. It's important to me that each episode is meaningful and engaging, so I have been taking some time to curate the content carefully. But don't worry, I'm not leaving you hanging. To bridge the gap, I'm excited to introduce a summer series called My Summer of 2024. In this series, I'll share my summer experiences, including events and festivals I attend. I hope to give you a glimpse into my world and provide some entertaining content during this time. So stay tuned for the first episode of my summer of 2024 coming soon. As always, thanks for listening. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Tabitha Stories. Today, I would like to share a bonus episode on Luna, where she will be sharing with us on her experience when she attended a correctional school. She will share with us how this affected her life. She will also share with us openly on drugs. As this podcast continues, I would like to mention that in Tabitha Stories, I do not encourage the use of drugs. This is because they are not good for the health of the body, mind, and spirit. Instead, I would encourage exercise, eating healthy, really encourage them to talk to people and find help when you need help. I would also like to thank my friend Emerson for recording the voiceovers before our third episode. I had a surgery in my mouth. I had 4 molars removed, so I was not able to speak. And so I want to thank Emerson for doing that for me. Now, this is where our bonus episode begins.
The school that my parents sent me to was a Christian correctional center. It had 11-foot electric fence around it. It was an all-girls school who they let the girls kind of police themselves. We had these things called buddies when we first got there who were to show us around, but we had chapel twice a day. We had to, you know, when it was time to eat, we had to eat everything on our plate, including like syrup. We had to put in our milk if we didn't finish all of it, which is, I understand now, but when you're 13, you don't understand why you're having to lick the syrup off your plate or put it in your mouth to drink. They were very strict, no pants. We had to wear culottes or dresses that were below the knee. We weren't allowed to talk back. We weren't allowed to. It was just really strict, strict. And if you disobeyed any of those rules, they had this room called the Get Right Room, which was a closet, basically, with no windows, that they would put you in for amounts of time with preaching on a little audio tape outside the door. They'd take you to the bathroom maybe once, twice a day, but you could be sitting in there for months if you just didn't comply to what their beliefs were. Not just rules, but their beliefs. And, you know, they would drag you out for chapel. And one girl they tied to a pole and just berated. It's basically brainwashing. It's unfortunately, these schools fall under religious protection. There was a girl at my school who died. She was walking through the new chapel that we were building, and roofing materials fell off the roof onto her and just squished her. It was horrible. We did hard labor. It wasn't quite capital punishment, but it was right on the edge of, you know, abusive, and just being locked in a closet with no light for days at a time.
Wow. Do you know why you were sent to the school? And is the school still standing?
I was sent to the school because I was a little shit, running away from home, just being a brat, drinking, partying. My parents probably had good reason to send me to that school. They were at their wit's end. I'd had two overdoses, life flighted from the island. I was just kind of out of control. And the school is no longer in existence, thank God. There was a girl who was killed there, and they got, the state came in, tried to close them down. They ended up going to Florida and opening up a new school and another one down in Mexico, I do believe. I'm not sure if the one in Florida is still there, if that got closed down or not, but yeah, it did some good, but the way they went about it was wrong. A lot of girls got messed up from that school. Some, you know, some didn't recover as well.
Wow. Thank you for sharing with me. I cannot wrap my head around your story and how the school impacted you. You shared to me about partying and drinking. How was that experience for you? What do you remember from that? And I would like to know more about the overdose, if you remember anything. How did that happen? And if there is an advice you would give to someone right now in regards to partying, drinking, and drugs, what advice would you give to them? And what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh man, you want to know about my partying days? Well, I was a pretty crazy kid. I had, like most teenagers, young teenagers, I just really wanted people to like me, you know? I hit puberty like 12, 13, and it just, it was a hard time for me. And what I didn't realize was that those, the people who I wanted to impress were already my friends. They had been my friends since kindergarten. But I just felt like I needed to impress them. And the one thing about where I'm from is is that if you didn't know how to drink a 12-pack, basically, by the time you were like 13, 14, you weren't considered an Islander, basically. I mean, there's more bars per square mile in Avalon than anywhere else in the world. Well, maybe not the world, but, you know, at least in California. I mean, the first liquor license was issued to a liquor store in Avalon, Abe's Liquor. But, I did a lot of things that weren't very smart because I was trying to impress other people. My brother, I was always trying to keep up with my older brother, who seemed to be able to do everything and never get caught, you know, and come out on top smelling like roses, whereas I would try to do the same thing 3 years younger and just mess up the whole thing. I mean, I'd get caught. I would end up owing, you know, money for property I'd break. But my overdoses, I would say, more were cries for help. One night my dad, actually, I should probably back up. I had done something and I was grounded. And I took off. Anyways, he worked a lot, and it was really hard for him to keep an eye on us because he was working, trying to support a family by himself at this time. And so that incident was the one that got me sent to the Christian Correctional Center. My dad had had it. He didn't know what to do with me. They were seriously afraid for my life at this point. Off I go to Christian Correctional Center. I did do a shitload of drugs. But I was raised to have... My mom was an alcoholic. So I knew it was... You know, she'd been taking me to AA meetings since I was a year and a half old. And so I knew the program. I knew what could happen. So I always had I was always weary about drugs that I did. I always made sure what I knew everything about before I put something in my body. I did the research. I knew what it could do. And this is before the internet. Bowie, stop it. Sorry, my other dog. He's loving me. But I have, you know, my view on drugs is, you know, Nancy Reagan's "No, Just Say No" was a joke. You know, kids are curious. They're going to do it, you know, either behind your back, parents' back, or, you know, at least my generation was. You know, I love how, this generation, they don't really give a shit about it. You know, we were all about altered states. There are so many street drugs out there now that you just don't know what's in them, you know? This fentanyl shit's just crazy. Everybody's dying on it. You know, I don't understand why kids would even want to do that. People would want to do that. Yeah, it feels good, but the adverse effects, you know, everyone, when you're young, you don't think that anything's going to ever happen to you. And that's why things happen to you. You got to not lie to yourself. Drugs can give you a false sense of well-being. And going into it, doing and not knowing that,
and not knowing what your limits are and intent, even if your intent is just to get fucked up, you're going to get fucked up and you're going to die.
Now, as this episode comes to an end, I would like to share more about Luna. She now has rescued more dogs. Koo, Luke, Harmony, Balau, Aria, and Dharma. And her last but not least, her beloved Freedom, who just passed away in December of a brain tumor. If you haven't heard to our second episode, I have added a clip in which we can hear Freedom. This past year of 2022, she lost two important people in her life, her mother and her ex-husband, which was also her best friend, and also her beloved Freedom. She sent me one last text message, and this is what her message reads. Her message to me reads, "All three have seen me at my best and my worst over the years. They were the ones who I would run to when I couldn't handle things on my own, my support and my rock. But in every person's life, there comes a time when you have to stand on your own two legs and hope that the things you were taught about life will kick in and keep you moving forward. Some you learn early in life, some later, but sooner or later, we figure out it's life on life terms and not our own. Then we can begin to really live. Peace, my friend. Thank you for letting me tell my story. I hope it helps someone, or at least inspire.